don't know, like, who do you got to get some chicken around here?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome D-Tech Smith and Steve Mix. You are now entering the MegaCast.
Sorry, Steve, I'm a little hangry.
Oh, dude, you and me both. I usually eat before our podcast, but I didn't today.
Yeah.
Because we're actually currently doing a podcast while the station is having a meeting, a lunch gathering.
Is there a meeting or is it just lunch? And
I don't trust these lunch gatherings, man. They're always a meeting.
Yeah.
You know there's always going to be some kind. I bet if we look out there right now, there's some kind of like PowerPoint presentation that they're showing.
I don't know. I don't see anybody sitting there. They might just be putting on, making masks and eating candy today. I saw some of the salespeople already leaving, so I was like, all right.
Oh, well, maybe we'll make this a quick one. I was like, well, let's just time it so that we do the podcast, we skip the meeting, and we get there right when the pizza shows up. Like, sorry, guys. You need us to do these podcasts now that you're advertising on them.
Yeah, exactly. Look, content. We produce it.
Yeah. This isn't just for fun anymore. Like, now it's like our job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kinda. I don't know. Anyways. It's good to see you, Ted.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I am hungry. I usually grab my lunch before we do the podcast. But I don't know if you know my Wednesday routine nowadays.
Well, I do now, because it used to always be we get chicken teriyaki.
Yes.
I would get it afterwards. You'd get it before.
Yes.
But now you've switched to the Starbucks sandwich and a coffee.
I like that as well. Well, what I've been doing recently for I don't know how long, but I'd say about the last couple months, the show ends.
All right.
As soon as the show ends, I pretend that I'm about to take a very important call, and I go into the green room.
Yeah.
You know where, like, the video green wall
is? Yeah, the giant couch in there.
The giant couch in there. And don't ever turn on the lights. I just walk in there in case someone's watching, but I'm like, oh, I'm talking to someone important. Just go straight to the couch, and I lay down. I set a timer on my phone for an hour, and I close my eyes.
Oh, nice.
And if I take a nap, great. If I don't, I don't play on my phone. I just sit there in silence and just chill. And 100 times out of 100 so far, I fall asleep. And it's great. So I take like a good 45-minute nap because, dude, I don't get naps anymore at home.
No.
And I go train wrestling on Wednesday night. So it's like I'm kind of like just – I'm slow. You know, I'm feeling pretty sluggish by the time Wednesday night comes otherwise. So get that good nap in. But then I wake up. The alarm wakes me up at an hour mark because however much sleep I get, it's at an hour. And then I'm just like usually tired as hell. I fall asleep on my arm. My arm's asleep. I'm cold because the room is cold.
It's like I definitely napped in there in the summer when it was so hot.
Oh,
my place was so gross.
That room was always so cold.
I know.
And then I just kind of like sluggishly. That's why I've been leaning on the coffee recently. I'm like,
I see. All right.
I need that coffee to wake me up. That teriyaki chicken's not helping. It's in fact making me more tired.
It's not.
Yeah,
but I know. She's back to two pieces.
Yeah, but dude, she's always been two pieces with me. Well, there was once a time. Those days were gone.
Yeah, I used to get three. The problem is I went consistently at least once a week, and then I stopped going, and she lowered me back down to two.
Yeah, ever since the Bell incident, I've been lowered down to two. I've never gotten back to that, I don't think. Maybe once. I think one time she left me hanging for a while, and I think it was like a make good.
All right.
Like, shut up, buddy. Here's an extra chicken.
I just try not to show up there with you, as I know she hates you.
Despises me. She probably doesn't like me now because I'm always making eye contact as I go into the Starbucks. I'm like, you see where I'm going?
It is weird. I do. Like, I'll do it on a Wednesday, too. I'll walk down there, and I look over, and if I see her, I go get chicken.
Yep.
If I don't, I'm like, oh, I'm going to make a right into the Starbucks.
Hurry up.
Well, now busted. And now the tunnel's open again.
It is?
Yes.
Oh.
Not everything's open, but like...
Is the Pokeball place open?
No. Damn it. Evergreens.
But Jimmy John's?
No. Evergreen. Why don't I just tell you what's open, Steve?
Okay fine.
Before I have to keep crushing your soul.
To be honest, I have no other places I could think of to even ask.
I don't know what happened to that Jimmy John's. They said we'll be back. They have not been back.
They're not freaky fast.
They're not. That one was never freaky fast.
No, it was.
And they generally are.
They were painfully slow.
Yeah.
And I always felt like as though I was going to get yelled at there.
Yeah, that was a strange one because Jimmy John's is pretty good about pumping out subs pretty quick. But yeah, that one was weird. Evergreens is open. You can go get a salad. They're kind of expensive, but I like them. Jack's Barbecue is open.
Okay.
Like the sushi joint, the burger joint.
Okay.
The Euro joint. And then the crappy Chinese buffet. Because they used to
have the name of it, in all fairness. It's the crappy Chinese buffet.
I don't know how to explain it because I love crappy Chinese food, but this is like, it's like, come on, man. Like, you just warm this up in the oven back there. Well, my place has been closed forever because they shut down buffets. But I used to always go over to the other place where you could get like, they had like crappy salmon, but they had like brown rice, like steamed vegetables. I could always go there and make a plate of something.
And that's the place where they would weigh your plate, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that place was pretty legit.
And sometimes you sneak in a piece of orange chicken. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, just as a little treat after you finish your salad.
Yes.
So you've done good with this salad.
Yeah, but you can always tell, like, chicken. On a Friday, like, ooh, a couple of orange chickens, maybe a fried shrimp.
Oh, man, I've been wanting General Tso's chicken for the longest time. You know, I need to pull rank at home and get it because I was supposed to get it for my birthday. So I was like the whole thing, which was like, you know, earlier this month. And I was all excited, but my birthday fell on, I believe, a Sunday, if I remember correctly.
It was.
Yeah. And my wife's like, you know, for your birthday, let's get Chinese food. I'm like, awesome. Well, I call them. They're not open on Sundays.
No, of course not.
It's like the sushi place by my house. Not open on Mondays. And it always feels like a Monday is when I really want that sushi.
Yeah, there's a couple places like that in my neighborhood. Because it's always like, for whatever reason, I feel like, unless we take like a week off. But I feel like I get more Mondays off just for weekend trips and stuff. So I'll have like a Monday, like I can order whatever I want for lunch. It's like, we're not open on Mondays. Like, you sons of bitches.
Don't you know I'm not working? Hey, before we get into the whole podcast, I just want to let everyone know, at the end of this podcast, if you're a wrestling fan.
Oh, you remembered.
That's right. I remember this time. So last week, we had Brian Danielson. And got some nice messages from people who enjoyed it. Because I'm like, I don't know. Is this going to go all right? Or the Mega family going to be like, stop adding extra crap for us to listen to. But if you feel like listening to it, I chat with Cody Rhodes.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Legend.
And he remembers Defy because he was the first guy. He was the first big name.
To come to
Defy. He was like the big selling point. He was the selling point for why I took the gig when they asked me about joining with Defy and doing something with them. I got a direct message from Jim over at Defy, and he's just like, hey, we're going to start this new promotion. Our main event's going to be Cody Rhodes versus Shane Strickland, who's now Isaiah Scott in WWE. And I'm like, I don't know what you need me for, but sold. That sounds like you guys are putting in the best foot. You're putting your best foot forward.
Yeah.
And it's just been amazing. In fact, Defy is going to be happening this Friday night. I'll be there ring announcing, and that's going to be a good one. Homicide for you old school wrestling fans. He's wrestling our boy, Ethan HD.
Come on, Ethan.
Ethan's got to kick his ass.
Yeah, man.
Put
him in his place.
Yeah. Remember the Bullet Club LP?
All
Vancouver's finest. He's going to be wrestling Sonico. That's going to be a badass match.
I can't believe he's wrestling. I mean, I just like the work he does with Killer Mike. I know they're different folks, people.
LP's like straight up, you want to go to a rave with this guy.
He's got
the light-up jacket, the light-up glasses. He's got the dubstep-y type music. He's called the headbanger. I'm a headbanger.
Dude, I wore one of our light-up jackets a few weeks ago at a bonfire. And somebody was just like, man, it's like 1 a.m. Like, that's a really cool jacket. Where'd you get it? And I was like, I'm drunk. I would like to tell you, like, I found it. I go, I think we got them from, like, ravetilldawn.com or some crap.
Yeah, something. It was like, I think it might have been even on Amazon. Like,
it might have been. I just forgot how cool those jackets are, especially when you're walking around in a dark area.
Dude, when I took, like, that same approach with, like, those jackets have, like, the LED strips.
Yeah.
And I had this guy that makes stuff, and he made me an LED with my logo on the back of it.
Nice.
On my denim jacket. I don't wear it all the time, but I need to bust that thing back out. I need to find like a venue when I'm wrestling that gets dark, real dark, because when it does, it looks pretty bad.
Washington Hall is a great venue, but those lights are old. They're probably not LEDs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to find somewhere where you can flip them off and flip them back on.
Yes. Just look badass.
Yeah.
Light up jackets. I don't care. Like, I'm like 10 years old with that kind of stuff.
I love
they're
it.
Awesome. Yeah. Sober drunk.
I mean, that's what makes Christmas awesome. Because everybody's always like, oh, Burning Man, you guys just like looking at the lights. You guys are all messed up. It's like, listen, you're not messed up the entire week. Like, I'm also like, don't you drive around in like Christmas lights?
Yeah.
Like, I think everybody likes lights.
Lights are awesome.
I mean, lights part of the reason you stare at a fire truck when it goes by. Like, oh, man. Like, you know it's going somewhere bad, but you're like, ooh, fire truck.
And all those people have those cars that have like the glowing lights underneath their cars.
Yeah.
It's just some people like lights.
All right, real quick about food.
Okay.
I've always made fun of people that got quote-unquote boneless wings. I'm like, that's a chicken nugget or a chicken tender.
I agree.
I'll tell you what, man. I know it's not any healthier because it's still battered and deep-fried. Well, I'm all about the buffalo cauliflower.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's I don't know if really it's a good texture thing. Sometimes I'm just like, you know what? I don't feel like gnawing on bones. Like, I'm just going to get the cauliflower.
But I love that, the hot sauce.
Yeah.
It's on it. Dude, where is it? I think Joey. You remember that
Yeah, of course.
I think they have a buffalo cauliflower thing over there.
Well, I've been known to go to the Atlanta Crossing after I play soccer.
Okay.
It's just like IPA, Buffalo Cauliflower, Ranch.
And I'm pretty sure now Buffalo Wild Wings does it.
Everybody does.
We should get some. And also get chicken wings, too.
Well, yeah, yeah. Lemon pepper wings, Buffalo Cauliflower.
Yeah. Oh, the buffalo sauce is the best. Dude, I know we're all over the place, and then we'll get into the TED Talk, but I did go to the Kraken game, and I made it a point. It's a funny reason why. So I was walking around, and I already had one of those Kraken sausages because I got to be a part of the media, and maybe we'll get into all that whole experience was pretty amazing. But I was like, man, I should go walk around, check out what's going on in the arena during an intermission. Like, I had a couple minutes.
Yeah.
So I start walking, and you ever, like, know somebody, but you don't really like them, but, like, you tolerate them.
It's all right.
Like the ultimate acquaintance, but they just get under your skin within 30 seconds.
Yep.
But they're not. There's, like, nothing they're doing wrong. They're just, they're cut from a different cloth, and they're just annoying as
all. They're just annoying.
Yeah.
To you.
Right.
Or to me.
Maybe someone else likes them. Although I know other people that would agree with me about this certain person. I don't know if you know him, but he's in the world of, like, entertainment.
I just almost was like, do I know?
Maybe. So anyways, I'm walking around, and I could see him maybe, you know, I'd say about maybe 70 feet. And he's got this weird strut, and he's wearing this suit that's way too big on him. Like, he's just trying to look like he's the guy. Like, that's kind of his thing.
All right.
Like, he thinks he's the guy. And as he's walking my way, I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't have it in me. I just don't. How do I get out of this situation? Like, I could turn right around, but I didn't even think about that. And I was like, I'm just going to make a left into whatever's next.
All right.
And make a left, and it's Shaq's Big Chicken.
Oh, nice.
So I'm like, this is meant to be. And, dude, it's awesome. Like, they had, like, a little stand. I think they had a couple of them in the arena. You walk in. The boxes are already set up. They have them on, like, a warming, like, station.
Oh, yeah. They're so you just box. Grab them?
You grab the box yourself, because I walked in confused, and the guy's like, do you need help? I'm like, I don't understand how this works. I'm like, what do I do? Do I pay first? He goes, no, grab whatever it is, scan it, pay it, and leave. I'm like, wait, there's no cashier? Nothing. Like, you don't make, they have all the different chickens, like, they have four or five different sandwiches. So, of course, I grabbed the Kraken, scanned it, paid, got out, guy was gone. It was awesome.
I like that it's like, do you need help? Because I know you, like, you probably maybe had, like, a beer.
No beers.
No beer, right? So it's not even like you're drunk. No. You're just like, do you need help? Because I feel like if I was standing there, like, hey, drunk guy, you need help?
Oh, I probably looked a little confused because I was just disheveled. I was, like, trying to hide from a guy, and I ended up in a mecca of Shaq's Big Chicken. Dude, that had barbecue sauce on it, cream cheese. I think, I can't remember what else, like, ranch dressing maybe. The sandwich was amazing. It was awesome. One of the best chicken sandwiches I've ever had.
No kidding.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Especially if you like buffalo sauce chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. Highly recommend it.
Yeah, I know. I want to eat one right now.
All right. Well, we can't do that, but maybe after the podcast, we could have a slice of pizza.
Maybe.
TED Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
Stay the course, people. Now, look. I could be talking about sports teams we know. Could be talking about personal achievements.
Ooh.
Yeah. Scored a goal this weekend,
hey!
Steve.
Hey, right? Hey, that's right.
Goddamn right. I buried that MF-er.
Not only did you score a goal, but the Ted Smith GWG. Game-winning goal.
Right, 1-0. Our buddy the mayor had pitched a shutout between the pipes.
Hey!
Right? I was so excited, man.
I love it because in a way, you still one-upped him. You got the shutout, but you got the game-winning goal.
Plus, it was really nice doing it with I have friends in that league, but I was like, man, Joe's back there making real saves.
Inspired
he made a couple
you.
Going left, which is tough.
Oh, okay. I can see that. Yeah, it's easier to dive right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, man. Yeah, good pace running out there. I'll tell you what, the weather was horrible. But anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday? Yeah. When I got there, it wasn't raining.
Outside of my house.
Yeah. All that wind and rain happened while we were playing. But yeah, got a goal. So stay the course. I'll get into sports a little bit later with some of that other stuff. The other thing I would tell people this weekend is, look, it's Halloween weekend. So you got kids, do the kid thing, get them trick-or-treating, enjoy some candy. If you're an adult going to a party, have fun, be responsible. And you know what this year? You hook up with the slutty nurse.
Yes. Right.
She's looking for action. And you maybe just make out. Have some fun.
If she asks for a breast exam, you give it to her.
Yeah. Bring your own telescope.
Make sure it's consensual.
Stethoscope. Whatever that thing is.
You know what? We know you just want to make sure there's nothing crazy going on down there. You get that telescope.
Yeah, yeah. You put that thing on her heart and go, I need to listen to your heartbeat, nurse. Sounds like it's beating for me.
Oh. That's just so bad it might work.
I mean, it's Halloween.
One time I was for Halloween.
I think Halloween is a hookup holiday.
Oh, of all holidays, I would imagine yes.
Because you ain't hooking up on Thanksgiving or Christmas.
The only thing I can think is if you were at a bar on Christmas, there's a good chance maybe you are looking for a hookup because chances are you're single.
And sad.
And sad. And what makes you happy? Sausage. I don't know.
I've been to a bar once on Christmas night.
I don't know if that's the best way to go about it.
It was, people were real fire. I was like, this isn't my scene.
Valentine's Day too, but it's like also you're teetering on the sad person. But I feel like people that are single probably go out on Valentine's Day just looking for someone to bang.
I have.
But I think
I've never converted.
Well, dude, I mean, when you're single as a guy, every weekend is a holiday looking to bang.
Well, like a holiday.
Holiday. Yeah, Halloween, though, definitely number one.
Just because everybody's in costumes and like, hey, look, there's just people on Halloween, frankly, that look better or cooler than they look the rest of the year. Men and women.
Oh, dude, for sure. Especially, dude, I'm a sucker for like. I remember back in like the days of like just like Facebook stalking people when you're single, you meet some girl, you're like, oh, that's awesome. I'm like, let me check her photo albums. Hopefully she has a photo album that's either summer at the beach or Halloween.
Yeah.
Those are typically where you get to see what's going on.
I have
so
definitely,
creepy, but it's true.
I have definitely been at a Halloween party and like almost hooked up with somebody and then it's like, oh, I mean, this was years ago. It's like, oh, damn, you're like 50.
You look good in those fishnets, though.
Well, all right, so it happened to my buddy. I'll leave his name out of it. We were at Trinity, right?
Do I know this person?
You might have met him, but...
Okay. Not someone super close in my world.
Correct.
Okay.
So it's me and two other buddies. We're at Trinity. I knew, like, a buddy of mine used to run security there. So we're up in, like, the VIP or whatever. So he's wearing a suit, but he's wearing these gloves. So it looks like a werewolf because he has on a mask and like the gloves, but he's just wearing a suit and he is dancing with this girl the whole night, right? But honestly, like we're clearly the oldest people in this VIP section.
Okay.
Everybody's like in their early 20s. And finally, he just like comes over and his mask is up. He's like, yeah, we can go now. I was like, what happened? He goes, oh, I pulled up my mask. She did not expect me to be like in my early 40s.
Oh, no.
He's like, yeah, she just kind of turned around and walked away. I was like, oh, damn.
Oh,
yeah.
That poses the question. Like, so if hindsight was 2020, you keep the mask on. And what if like she's like, let's go back to your place. Do you just keep it on for the whole time?
Like, but the thing is, like at some that's point, all, like you would never think like, oh, I'm going to take my mask off. And she's going to be shocked that I'm in my early 40s.
Right, like she's willing to already dance. Like you figure, okay, she just doesn't care.
Oh, dude, we were on fire that night. And then we went to another private party.
Uh-huh.
Where I was like, yeah, yeah, like I'm on the list, like I know this person, this and that, and the guy's finally like, all right, yeah. So again, we're up in like a VIP, this and that. We walk all over this place, never find our friends, have a blast. At one point, we're on stage with the DJ.
Amazing.
Dancing.
Yeah.
And the next morning, I text like this guy I know that was supposed to be the hookup there, and I go, hey man, we were there, we never saw you. And he's like, dude, where were you? And I told him, he goes, you were at the wrong party. And it was like a $30 entrance into this rave. And I got us in. We're on stage dancing. Like, I mean, it was one of those nights. I was at the wrong damn party.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah.
They always say, if you act like you belong, you will get wherever you need to go.
Right, because I wasn't being a D about it. Right. I really thought I was at the right place. Right. I was like, I don't know, man. Like, check that list again. And finally, I was like, all right, man, you seem to know what you're doing. Like, yeah, get up. Here's your wristbands. Like, get up there.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I remember we used to do that, like, at the old Deck the Hall ball days when I worked at the end, and it was at the now Climate Pledge Arena, but was once the Key Arena before being really awesome like it is now. Well, I remember I used to live in Queen Anne, so I would just... It was like, I'm going to go in there a little early. I got nothing to do. I'm just kind of hanging out in my apartment. And I would always make it a point because it was easier to cut through the parking, like that weird employee parking gate into the arena. Kind of like the gate like that's like before you get to the front doors.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I already have my credentials, but I have a hoodie on. So my credentials weren't showing. And at the first time I did this, I wasn't intentionally doing it. But then the next couple times where I was still living around there, I did it just more as a game, just to see. Because the first time, I was just like, I'm just going to cut through. I got my pass. I could get wherever I want. So I just cut through this one door. Nobody stopped me. First of all, I just walked through like where the security would tell you not to. But I'm just walking like as if I owned the place. So they didn't even care. Walk right through. I'm now in the kitchen of the Key Arena. And I just was like looking for, I'm like, where's the elevator? And they're like, oh, it's right over there. Took the elevator up, blah, blah, blah. And it hit me. I'm like, Nobody stopped me, and I have no proof that I'm credentialed.
No, but yeah. Right, you just have that because you did. You were confident,
right? I wasn't like sheepishly like looking around.
I did it at Sonics games before.
Yeah,
just walked up to the club level. Weren't you with me one night?
Probably.
I think it was like me, you, and
I think you're right.
Yeah,
yeah.
We were just like, screw it, let's just walk up there.
Squatch, just admit it. It was squatch.
I still just remember this smoking hot woman walks by with her boyfriend and stops and like looks at the three of us. And the one person we're with is like, and she's looking at me and she's like, Ted. I was like, hey,
right.
How you doing?
Just real quick though, highly recommend if you can go to a hockey game. I know tickets are cheap. Although yesterday I learned if you wait until the very last minute, like let's just say you go to a bar nearby Climate Pledge Arena around games at 7, 6:20-ish, 6:30, get on your phone on Ticketmaster app, the resale, the prices go way down when there's not a high demand for a ticket at that time.
I mean, weekend games are always going to be packed.
I feel like
these weekday games, you're going to be able to get in there. I mean, even Sunday night, I've already had people offering me tickets for Sunday night.
And it's Halloween, so
it's Halloween.
Feel like,
the Seahawks are in town.
Yeah, I had a couple people hit me up about last night's game and even Thursday's game. But dude, $40 for a ticket.
Are they in town still tomorrow?
They're in town. They're playing Minnesota tomorrow. Ooh. Kraken versus Minnesota, and then the weekend against the Rangers, and then I think next week they're playing Buffalo. I might be going out with Danny from our show. We're going to try this. We're going to go on Thursday night. We're going to go to a bar.
All right.
And we're just going to wait until 6:10-ish. See if tickets are anywhere hovering around $50-$60 a ticket. Pull the trigger. Because at that point, save $20, whatever. And go to the game. Mm-hmm. But here's my whole experience. So I had no ticket to that game. I thought for sure I'm not going to the game.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to put in another thing for a press credential. Because, I mean, we do cover them. They know me.
Yeah.
I'm registered with the NHL, like, as a member of the media. Like, I get their alerts. Like, I had to fill it all out. Like, I've done all the stuff when the first team first came through. So I put it in. I'm like, they probably got a billion people that are coming to the opening game. I'm not going to be butthurt if they say no. I feel like they'll say yes to other games, but not opening day, right?
All right.
Thursday night, get an email from them. You've been approved for a pass.
Nice.
What the F? But now I'm like, crap, I got to look, because that's the joke. Not the joke, but the thing is, like, you don't go to the press media section wearing, like, a jersey or a hoodie. You don't show any allegiance to a team. You got to look professional. And I'm like, well, I don't really have a ton of professional clothes. I'm like, all right, I'll go to the store.
You look sharp.
I went to H&M, found a $15 button-down shirt.
All right, that's funny, because that was the first thing I said to you today. Yeah. I was like, man, you look good.
I had a pair of, like tan-colored Levi's that look like slacks, but they're really jeans. I just wanted to get a blue shirt so I could still kind of represent the Kraken without wearing, you know, got that for $15, drive down. I'm like, I'm going to probably have to drop an arm and a leg to get a parking spot. Find street parking on Western, like literally three blocks away from the actual entrance of the Climate Pledge Arena. Find street parking. So I pay for it with my app, $1.75, I think, top.
Maybe. Were you down by, like, where I used to live, right? Like Belltown almost?
Legit on First and Western.
Jesus, man, that's close.
Right. I couldn't believe it at first. Like I looked everywhere for like a good couple of minutes. I'm like, this can't be. But there were cars parked there, but there was a ton of parking spots.
All right.
I screw it. Dude, all said and done, under $20 for the shirt and the parking. I'm at the Kraken game, home opener. And it was
that's
amazing.
Awesome.
Dude, as a hockey fan, I'm so glad I got to be there. Goosebump City. Team didn't win, of course, but that's okay.
People were fired up all day. I mean, even because I went to the Sounders match that day, but all day people were just like, you going to the hockey game? You going to the hockey game?
Yeah,
I mean,
dude.
It was wild.
And shout out to my boy Munson. He has season tickets. Third row back behind Sean Kemp on the ice.
No
behind
kidding.
The goal, the goal that the team is trying to shoot on twice, so the visitor's net. So that those seats were incredible. And his buddy got a little too wasted. His wife, who's pregnant, decided that it's time to go home. So I swooped in on the third period, and it was great because I was up in the press box, and there was this nice guy from Canada, and we were getting along great, like some media guy there. But as the night went on, like I think he felt a little too comfortable talking to me, and things got political. Like,
oh,
about healthcare, about employment, about the living wages, about COVID. And I'm looking at this guy for the whole
not tonight,
and I'm just like trying to watch the game. Finally, and I knew Munson already hit me up. He goes, hey, man, I got an empty spot. I'm like, you know, maybe in the third period, I'll hit you up. But, like, let me just enjoy this press spot because it's a beautiful view of the ice.
I don't know that I've ever been in a press box.
It's incredible, dude.
Like, I've been Right, I've been to like NFL facilities for practice and stuff, but I don't know that I've actually been in a press box in an actual game.
Great perspective. You're hovering over the ice practically. And like, you can watch the whole play. Finally hit a point where it's like maybe 5 minutes left in the second period. As this guy's telling me about things that I'm just like, man, like, I don't need this right now. I just took my jacket and I got up. He goes, you're going, because I told him earlier, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to probably bone out a little bit early so I can get to check out the merch stuff. And I grabbed my jacket too. He goes, grabbing your jacket, huh? I'm like, yeah, it's cold. See you later.
I just nice. I like
never
that.
Came back. Sat with Munson. Had a great time being around other like.
Yeah. Well, now you're
saying,
in the crowd. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It was to get the best of both worlds.
Right, because we're going on what, December 3rd.
Yes.
And
dude, we'll have to hit up Munson because he's got the Space Needle Lounge tickets that you pay extra like $2,000 for the season. It's like this little exclusive lounge, that's set up on like the second level.
All right, so. The other thing too is
and he'll hook us up, he said.
I'm not gonna name drop him, but you know him. He's a big listener, does photography from stuff and anyhow.
DK Metcalf, yes, he was there.
He hit me up and was like, dude, I got club seats. Let me know when you want to go to a game. So I'm like, ooh, Friday night, like we're gonna have to talk to a lot of people.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, good dude. Yeah,
yeah,
good dude.
Right. Yeah. That's how I was like, all right.
Yeah, dude. It was awesome. Highly recommend it. But yeah, if you want to try and score tickets for the cheap and you're willing to play that game of maybe I'll get them. I mean, you'll get them no matter what. You just might not get them for as cheap as you hope.
I do respect whoever the other... Do I know the other mutual friend whose wife was like, it's time to go home?
I don't think you've ever met him. He's one of our hockey buddies.
All right. But I do respect, like, man, that's getting it on a... Well, it's a Saturday... Here's the other thing. You're talking a pro sporting event on a Saturday evening. Like, people are going to be drunk, but I kind of respect the first game, and he's just like, caution to the wind.
Dude, he was so wasted when I sat down to the section. We're like, hey, what happened to him? I'm like, oh, he got a little too drunk. He's got what you're like, yeah, we figured that was happening. Because at some point during the game, he's doing this thing where he's got his fingers up like a peace sign.
Yeah.
But he keeps tilting them down. Like he's going up, down, up, down. Yeah, just doing this throughout the entire first period.
Up,
he's wasted.
Down, up,
and
down.
Everybody's like, what is this guy doing? Even Munson's like, do I not know hockey culture? Am I missing something?
Yo, is this a Canadian thing?
Right. People in the section are even like, well, everyone's laughing and kind of doing it with him as a joke. But they're all like, right. Why is this? Finally, someone's like, hey, buddy, what are you doing? He goes, I'm talking to the goalie. And they're like, what do you mean? He goes, tell him to put his eyes down. Stop watching the play.
Oh, Jesus.
That way they could score on him.
So he's like borderline blacked out drunk.
He's fully blacked out drunk. So then everyone in the section, I guess, are doing the thing.
Pay attention, Keith. Pay attention. Or no, I gotta stop saying.
Don't pay attention. He's starting to tell him to look down so he doesn't see the puck.
Jesus Christ.
You know, that's what Demko from the Canucks is gonna do. He's like, I was tracking the puck until.
Oh, I see. He's trying to fake out the goalie.
Yeah, he's trying to tell the goalie, look down. Stop watching the play.
Jesus.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more actual sports besides the weird adventures I had on opening day for the Kraken. But go Kraken, man.
Go Kraken.
All right, the MegaCast will return.
Ugh, seriously. Ted, Steve, shut the f*** up already. The Megacast will be back.
You know what 2:30 in the afternoon feels like, don't you? Sleepy, groggy, dying for a nap. What do? Drink a cup of coffee? Drink a soda? Well, now you can get rid of that 2:30 feeling for more than 3 weeks with new 500-hour energy.
Ooh, awesome!
500 Hour Energy has the caffeine of 3 cups of strong coffee and the sugar of 10 dozen donuts. So not only will you have the energy to get through your workday, you'll have enough energy to go without sleeping for weeks.
No, honey, just come to bed.
I'm not tired. I'm going to do the dishes and I'm going to paint the living room.
Hey, who needs sleep anyway?
The flies, they're all over me.
500 Hour Energy. Non-stop energy now. No 2:30 feeling for over 3 weeks.
Look at all the pretty colors.
500 Hour Energy.
These two guys are proof that they'll just let anyone do a podcast. The Megacast is back.
That is a good meme.
The Vince McMahon strut? Yeah. That's how the guy looks. No chance. No chance you're talking to Migs. You've got no chance. Steve's eating big chicken from Shaq. I actually tweeted at Shaq to thank him for his chicken. He never got back to me.
Not even a like?
No.
That's all right. We still like Shaq.
Oh, yeah. Shaq still rules. I got to imagine he gets a lot of tweets.
He gets a few more than we do.
Like, I mean, for us being in like the, like, not trying to humble brag, but it's going to sound that way, but like having like 16,000-17,000 followers, yeah. At times I'm overwhelmed. Like, I'm like, I think I replied to everybody, but I can't remember if I did or didn't. I always feel bad if I don't. Now imagine multiplying that by 1,000.
I can't even imagine. You ever seen that video? Is it Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo, or somebody? Like, they post something on Instagram, and it's just the notifications.
Oh.
It's freaking insane. You're just like, oh, they can't even, like, you can't even, like stop it.
No.
Just,
well, that's how it was. I remember one time I had Rachel Barley, the bikini barista, former rock girl, now has Lucky Devil coffee stands all around. She's killing it, right? She came in studio, and as a joke, she's like, okay, I'm like, what is your phone like? Like, what is the notifications like for you? Because she has over 100,000 followers on Instagram. She's like, here, just hold my phone and watch. And I'm like, after about 2 seconds, I had anxiety from seeing how many notifications wouldn't stop. And I looked at her and I go, why don't you turn your notifications off? Like, why do you even want to subject yourself to this? It's insane. And then she's like, just open up my page. And I'm like, you can't keep up with it.
Yeah.
And that's 100,000. Imagine having 1.4 million or something like that.
Yeah, I've only done it once on my Twitter where I was like, all right, nobody can reply to this anymore.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've muted conversations before. I've made a post and then I mute the conversation because I'm just like, I don't want to read what people have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like even like the other day I posted something. Someone had nothing mean towards me, but were bitching about something about the Kraken. And then someone else chimed in to like argue with that person about whatever they wrote. And I'm like, I'm just as annoyed by that person's post as well. I want nothing to do with this conversation the two of you are about to have, and I know you guys are going to include me in it, so I just muted the conversation.
Yeah, and some people I'm always amazed, like, I'll be tweeting with somebody else, and then somebody, like, just jumps in, and so, like, come on. And if it's always negative, I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Come on.
Oh, if it's positive, welcome to the party.
Yeah, exactly.
Water's warm.
Yeah, there's a couple people I tweet at, like, there's a guy that does, like, radio, I think, for XM down in, he's down in LA, but he used to be up here. God, I can't think of his name right now. But I don't actually know him, but we have a bunch of mutual like friends.
Right, right.
So like if it's something, I'll jump in about something about his dogs or whatever. But like, yeah, I'm not going to jump in and be like, you're effing wrong about that, dude.
Yeah, dogs suck. Cats for life.
You are not going to hear me say that. I'm not going to say never, but you're not going to hear me say that.
I will say with complete confidence, I will never say that.
Yeah, because you're already married. You know you're not married to a cat woman.
Thank God.
Right.
That's a good point.
But like that would be an awkward conversation too. Like, no, I really like her, but... she's got two cats.
Right, yeah, run. Sorry, cat owners.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sports.
I don't hate cats. It's not my thing.
The thrill of victory.
Yeah, they can be nice.
And the agony of defeat.
And the doghouse right next door to it.
The Ted Smith's
Wild World. Let's spend more time at the doghouse. Doghouse
brought
is awesome.
To you by
Smith Family Popcorn. Good people. Great
it's good
popcorn.
For Smith Family Popcorn. Hey, nobody will know unless you know.
If you know, you know.
Let's just cut to the chase. Seahawks are not good.
No.
There's a lot of problems with that team. I know everybody wants to bench Geno, but I will ask you, for who?
Yeah.
There's some scheme issues, this and that, but you know, you're going to find out this year who's in, who's out, you know, look, still go to the games, still tailgate.
Dude, I saw tickets.
It's still NFL football in your town. Like, look, I'm going to watch it. We don't have pub league or I'm not going to be at pub league this week. Like, yeah, I'm fired up. I'm going to sit there and watch an entire Seahawks game.
This might be the first game I haven't watched in forever just because it's on Halloween and at 1 o'clock and we're going to be doing some like trick or treating type events. With Baby Tatum. But of course, I'll be keeping tabs on my phone. But I saw online, I think if you go to like the Ticketmaster, people are selling their tickets for like $25.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, come on, we
got to give it up, Ted.
Well, hey, look, here's the other thing, too. Is over the years, like you hear me talk about sports all the time. I love sports. But outside of Maryland football, I tried to be realistic.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long year.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean we got to jump ship and be like, the hell with it.
We had Mitch Levy on Monday or Tuesday after the game. And he's like, look, I'm not saying the team is good, but I am saying there's still a chance. This is the people who are competing for wild cards, they're still in the mix. So, like,
it just burned losing two. Because, look, there's not a lot of wins left on that schedule.
Right.
Pittsburgh and New Orleans.
They should have been gimmies.
And then Jacksonville. I was hoping to get two out of three. Now you got to win on Sunday. But just like, to lose two games by 3 points when there was just simple, simple mistakes that could have fixed that stuff.
You say all you want about Geno, but like, and defense played great for the most part. But man, did they make some boneheaded mistakes at the end of that game that cost the game?
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, look, Geno looked terrible at the end, but also, like he didn't throw a pick, you know, and like...
And like I said, each week it's entertaining to find out how he's going to screw up the ending of the game. One week it's the interception, then it's the fumble, and this time it's the sack.
And I love running the ball, but you got to let the kid, or you got to, not the kid, Jesus, you got to let Geno throw it at some point. Not only when it's third and a mile, because you know what?
Gosh,
the defense
right.
is just teeing off at that point. Dude. The defensive linemen, they're going to be firing up field. You'd have extra backs in the back, you know, defensive backs. Like, right. At that point, like, right, it's tough for Russ to make a play when it's third and 17.
Well, like, what they always say, I joked about it, but like, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. I'm like, now the definition of insanity is Pete Carroll. Because, like, how do you just keep running the ball? It was stupid.
They
had you all dialed in. You weren't getting anywhere with the run. I understand that that's your philosophy, but at some point, you got to let Geno do something. I mean, he did have a couple good plays.
Yeah.
He's capable of throwing a pass. He's got wide receivers that are beyond talented that can make him look good.
Yeah.
Hey. Hey.
Did you see the newest DK news this morning?
Oh, my gosh, did I? I didn't meet him, but I was like no further than you and I to DK Metcalf and Bobby Wagner at the Kraken game.
All right, so I've talked to Bobby before.
Yeah.
He's right. How big is DK in person?
Big. He's very tall.
That's what I'm saying, because he's tall, too.
He makes Bobby look small.
Which is wild, because Bobby's a big boy.
And seemed very friendly. I don't know how else to say it. Like, Bobby almost looked like he just was like, I don't want to be bothered anymore. I think a lot of people were bugging him probably throughout the day.
Sure. I mean, outside of Russell Wilson, he's, I would say, the second most famous Seahawk currently on the roster.
I feel like DK's still enjoying being a celebrity more so than Bobby Wagner, because DK looked like I could have bought him a beer and he would have been, like, down with it.
Yeah, and DK's got a little bit of an easier job on Monday.
That's a very good point.
You know what I mean?
He's not hurting
like,
as much.
Bobby's the captain. He's the quarterback of that defense. He's got to call plays and stuff.
Good point.
Yeah, DK, I mean, look, that's the other thing, too. Like, look, I don't care. Give it to him on an end around. He is such a monster. Just put the ball in his damn hands.
And let the man have a foursome if he wants a foursome.
Yeah, who cares if he blows off a chick from Portland?
I thought that was the funniest story ever.
Yeah, people should look that up. I saw that. I think I saw that on BSO, Black Sports Online.
And I saw it on Bro Bible.
Oh, it's already on Bro Bible, too.
It was on this morning, at least. Right. And it was just like, long story short, he was hollering at a girl on Snapchat. She's an Instagram model, quote unquote. Convinces her to come see him, but she lives hours away. I didn't realize it was Portland, but that
makes
sense.
I'm just guessing, because she said 4 hours away, so I'm like, all right, maybe it's Eugene, whatever.
And she's like about an hour away or something like that, and he's like, you know what, just turn around, I'm tired. And then he hits her back up again after that and says, you know what, if you want to come, would you be down for a foursome? And then she was mad at him and blew him up on social media.
Yeah.
I think that was the gist of it.
Yeah.
And I know some people are like, well, he's got to be smart about that. I'm like, he's single, and he's a celebrity, and he's... Everything he did, maybe he could have waited. He could have told her a little sooner, but he was looking for consent. It wasn't like he was like doing anything like that's illegal or inappropriate. If the I didn't understand why people were getting pissed at him.
Yeah, I mean,
freaking DK Metcalf. Let the man have a foursome if he wants a foursome. Let him have a fivesome.
Yeah, I mean, I did it at the Bunny Ranch.
Yeah,
right. Like I had the opportunity, paid the money.
Yeah,
safe play. Like let's do this.
I did try to perpetuate the rumor that the other two of the foursome were Russell and Sierra.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm kidding.
Sounders are not good right now, but Sounders are good overall. It was a tough loss last night. Don't worry. Schmetz will have them fired up for the playoffs. They'll be okay. Kraken are rolling.
Yes!
I'd bring up the... Right, they won a game. I'd bring up the World Series, but it's Atlanta and Houston. I don't know that I care.
How funny is that? I'm sure like the network was like, ooh... L.A. versus Boston, two major cities in the World Series.
And two historic baseball.
Right.
Yeah.
Would have been an incredible ratings grab for them. Nope, they got the exact opposite. They've got World Series on Wish.
Right, and you're right. We have Steve Miggs at home.
Yes.
Right, and the problem is everybody in the country still hates Houston.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, the only thing you'd watch it for is just to watch the Braves win.
And I think anyone that's probably around my age, a little bit younger, a little bit older, probably... In a weird way, still has a sweet spot for Atlanta because we grew up watching TBS.
Right, and they were always on.
They were like America's team when I was a kid.
Right. Like, so that's,
they were on all the time.
And I always say that's the way the Cubbies were for me with WGN.
Mm-hmm.
And they played they played the most day games they could. So we always watched the Cubs.
That's right. Because when we were growing up, man, I feel old. But Wrigley Field had no lights.
They didn't have lights.
So they could never have a night game. And that's not that long ago.
No. And when they put in the lights, they still played the league minimum of night games.
Yeah, dude. What was that? Maybe like less than 30 years ago.
Oh, I would say maybe. Yeah.
20-ish?
Well, I would say 20, but Christ, I got old, so I don't know.
I know, dude. We lost an
extra decade. But I feel good. But I got old.
Yeah. I feel like 40s versions of us are better than 30s versions of us, but we still got old.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's nuts.
I'm in better shape, but number-wise, I got old.
Right. I'm closer to death, technically.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm not because I'm healthier now.
Right. I really like avocados and go to the doctors. Yeah.
Right, I mean, we go to the gym now.
Yeah.
But, dude, how crazy is that to think that there's a ton of people that do not even realize that there was once a time where Wrigley Field had no lights?
It's wild, dude. And right, and it's like, how are you guys Cubs fans? Like, because you had off in the summer, and they were on.
All the
time. You could watch them.
And their scoreboard was in digital. I think, did they even have power? Because it's so lit up back then.
Now, and look, I've been to Wrigley a couple times. There's still seats there where there's poles and you have obstructed views. Yes. Like, I mean, it's old. That and Fenway. You're like, when you get in there, like, they're awesome places to see games. So when you get in there, you're like, oh, damn. Like, this is a place that's, like, hasn't been updated.
No, no, not at all. And both of them are not very friendly for us wide-hipped fellas and ladies. Like, it's like you squeeze into those seats. I'm like, what is it? Like, everyone back in the 20s were skinny?
Dude, the worst is Michigan.
Really?
The big house, right? Because they always tout that they have like 110,000 people, but it's just benches.
Yeah.
And you are, I mean, like sardines, you're squeezed in there.
Well, that's the complaint right now about climate pledge. I don't know. I'm hoping, I'd imagine that they have to process the complaints and then address some of them because the big issue is those bar seats.
Yeah.
That people are saying, A, if somebody stands up in front of you, unless you get on your knees and stand on your bar seat, you get obstructed view. Like, for some reason, it's just the way... Like everything else is nice and deep, so
right.
People in front of you, you can still see over them. But for some reason, if they stand up while you're at your bar seat, you can't see if you're standing up. It's just, like, a weird setup. And there's too many seats and not enough length of a bar. So...
Oh, so people are just crunched next to each other and they can't see the game?
If everybody that is at a bar seat is all sitting at the same time, I don't think they all fit along the whole bar. So,
damn.
I don't know. I they got to figure that out.
Damn.
If not... That's a bummer.
It is.
But get a big chicken sandwich and you're happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know me. We'll watch a couple periods and then walk around.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking about you and I in December when we're going to go. It's going to be great. And then Munson, he says, hey, man, you guys need access to that Space Needle Lounge. Let me know. And I'm like, you know we will.
For sure.
Especially if they win after the game, that stays open for an hour.
Oh, that's us.
And dude, we were there. That's when I was texting you.
All right. Yeah, that looked fun.
There were the players that were scratched, that were in their suits, were all in there.
Nice.
And JT Brown showed up in there. That's where I ran into John Forslund.
It was
like, that was the hangout, man. That was the spot. The best, though, and I know we got to go, we see a guy rocking a number 69 jersey. So Munson and I are both like, Munson like kind of taps me. He's like, check out this guy with the 69 jersey. That's awesome. And I go, nice. And he kind of looks at us like, yeah, man, cool, whatever. Turns around and walks off. Nameplate says Ott. It's Tyler Ott from the Seattle Seahawks. Number 69.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he's there with his wife or girlfriend.
And you and Munson. I did it on Sunday at Pub League. One guy go, oh, I didn't realize your number is 69. Nice.
Yeah. I thought he was going to be like, nice, let's have a shot.
Yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, man, cool, whatever. Like, he wasn't a jerk.
No, it's just his football number.
But he's just like, yeah, man, I'm Tyler Ott from the Seahawks. That's my number. They gave me this for free. All right, we got to get out of here in just a moment. We're going to jump into an interview with Cody Rhodes, who's part of Roads to the Top, the reality show that he does with his wife. And a lot of AEW wrestlers are part of that as well. Plus, he wrestles for All Elite Wrestling, which is just killing it these days. I absolutely love it. So anything going on for you?
No, but I'm not here next week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we got a week off.
Week off. And then when we come back, we'll have Bianca Belair joining us.
Awesome.
I'll pop that one in there. I already recorded it, so we'll have to wait.
All right. I should look up who she is.
Oh, she's a lady. Oh,
yeah, I know. Bianca, I was like, oh, that sounds good.
Friday night, I'm at Defy ring announcing, so hopefully I'll see you there. Saturday night, if you live in the Bellingham area or are willing to make the drive, I'm wrestling at 5CC Wrestling. It's their mischief night. It's me taking on Jacob Oso. It's going to be a good fight.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
That's going to be a good one. I'm actually looking a lot forward to that because him and I have had matches before, and we always have a good time beating each other up. So come on out. It's at 5ccwrestling.com, and it's at the Fraternal Order of Eagles on 1125 North Forest Street, Friday and Saturday night.
Bellingham.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah. Get out there. Eat some candy.
And follow us on Twitter at the Megacast.
Peace. Pigs.
Hello, Cody.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, how's it going, my man?
Good, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, dude. First of all, I don't even know where to start with you, but I just have to thank you because I'm a big fan of wrestling and I love everything, but I have a 2-year-old, and you'll probably realize this too with having a kid, is that time is very limited, so I don't get to watch as much wrestling as I want to, but there's one promotion that I always make it a point to watch each week, and that's AEW. You guys have brought so much fun to wrestling again, and as a wrestling fan, I truly appreciate that.
Thank you. It's a team effort, and the metrics lately have just been wild in terms of how many people are watching this dang show, and that's one of those great power, great responsibility things. You know, we just want to do justice by the fans and by the network, and hopefully we continue to do that.
Oh, that's so awesome, dude. And now you're jumping into the world of reality television, and it feels weird saying this when you know you call something reality television. A lot of times it doesn't feel very real, but with your show, it does feel very real. Was that something that was important to you with doing a reality show?
It was very important to me that it be authentic, otherwise I wouldn't have done it. And then it was very important, actually, it worked out, because it was incredibly important to TNT. Jenny Ramirez and Shed Media and everybody was absolutely adamant about, if TNT is going to do a reality show, well, it just can't be your mom and pop this. It's got to be different. And they're capturing it at such a time where personal lives are in flux and insanely tumultuous, with my wife being 9 months pregnant, the company growing at the rate it is. They captured it at such a unique time. You didn't really have to frame anything up. It was authentic. And that's the thing I've been most proud of watching these 6 episodes is, you know, or the 5 episodes and the 6th one coming up this Saturday, the finale, is that that's what people got to see. And it's like having this home movie that I'll have forever. Really special.
You say that, dude. I was thinking that watching the last episode, and it kind of got me in the feels, because it's like, what an incredible thing to have. You have a video document of having the birth of your first child. That to me is, I look back on mine and I have all the great memories, but I'm like, man, I could only imagine if I had that on video, just to be able to look back and like smile, because it's, in my opinion, the greatest moment. And I think everyone would agree, when you have a kid, it's the greatest moment in your life. It's that first moment where I truly felt tears of joy, and how awesome that was to have that. And thanks for sharing that with us as fans.
Oh, I look back at the episode where Liberty was born, and I almost feel like I want to, DP credit on it, because I filmed most of it, because it was mid COVID, and they, you know, my wife has just given birth, and I'm completely shell shocked and stunned in a beautiful way by this little girl that's mine now.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, hey, can you please turn your phone sideways, set it to HD, X amount of frames per second. So as I'm filming it, it's fun, and I can see my wife is like, "What are you doing?" But
right
now, I look back, I treasure that. It's my home movie of, I'll have it forever. Liberty will literally look at herself. I mean, they got it. Like, I got it. The footage of her coming out and just like going on to like the warming table and her little hat on and all that. I'll have that forever.
And dad life, how great has it been for you so far?
Nothing I could possibly compare it to.
Yeah.
Nothing I could possibly compare it to. And you know, you hear about, well, life changes and it's the most important thing. And it is all those things. But what I've really enjoyed is the fact that I remember what it was like to be a kid and not care about anything. Just, you know, my parents and my family. And, you know, once I started going to elementary school, then that was a thing. But like, that innocence is, now I feel like I'm fighting for a whole new thing. You know, I'm the cynical mid-30s, you know, wrestling producer. And now I feel like I'm fighting for a completely different psychology. And that being just that innocence is, in my childhood self has kind of been filled up by having a child. And I'm just so excited that I get to be her dad forever and be responsible for her. And I, she's just the best and smiles. And it's really a journey, first kid journey for me. And gosh, I don't know what I was doing before.
I appreciate you sharing those moments. And I look forward to seeing the upcoming episode. And AEW is just firing on. I mean, dude, it's just insane. Like what you guys have done in the, and since the start, but especially in these last few months, it just seems like every week there's something massive that happens that gets the whole wrestling world talking about it. And then on top of that, you have a great wrestling school. And I just want to quickly give a shout out because I have a couple buddies that are there right now that are part of the Nightmare Factory, and that's my buddies Cody Guillermo and Madeline. And so I just wanted to give them a shout out, and I'm hoping that they're killing it over there.
That's awesome that you even know about the Nightmare Factory. I love that. I am extremely proud of what QT has been able to do with Nightmare Factory. I was not a believer in wrestling schools because I was trained on the fly in front of audiences, essentially, and I have come to see their value so much in terms of not just teaching people the basics and teaching people the etiquette that goes into the wrestling industry, but also the community. We were talking about what it's like to be a little kid again. It's amazing to be a young person, any age person, getting into the business. And that first bit of community is the school that you go to and the people that you train with. I've never forgot the people that I was with. And now seeing that happen, it's special. And also, I'm the easiest coach ever. QT's the bad cop. They do the thing. All right, cool. It's a C+. Move on. You know, like it's really fun to teach wrestling and especially with young kids and show them the old footage. And yeah, the factory's got it going on.
Sure. Life is just way too busy to see you once again in a Defy ring, but we still over here look back fondly at that first few shows where you were a part of, and you helped put Defy on the map. And that's something that doesn't go unnoticed over here. We always look back and be like, man, that was so awesome.
Dog, I just put it together that Cody, we don't call him Cody because QT was afraid I would get mad. And then the other one you're talking about, are you talking about Vicky Dreamboat?
Yeah,
my Seattle,
yeah.
Yeah, they're the best in the class so far. Vicky, she's the number one in the class right now. And I let her know. I'm super terrible about letting the kids know who I like the most. And she's my favorite at the moment. I'm real proud of both of them. They've really taken their opportunity so far and done good with it.
Well, I trained with those guys before they left. So it's for me, it's just been, especially with Vicky, because she just started. And then all of a sudden, she's like, I'm going to a Nightmare Factory. And we're like, what? Dude, that makes me so happy to hear. I love that girl. She's one of the coolest people. And it's so awesome to hear that.
Yep, she's number one right now. But there's a guy named Tony who's right up behind her. I'm going to let her know if he takes her spot. I'm a terrible coach.
Yeah, screw Tony, man. We don't want any of that. Cody, man, it's an absolute pleasure. And best of luck with everything. And seriously, congratulations. I'm a girl dad as well. And it's the best thing that ever happened in my life. And it sounds like the same for you as well.
Thank you. I can't wait to get out there to Defy again. I haven't had my last Defy show. Don't worry. I'm excited to see y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.